Turn to the book of Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 13. Now, on the surface, this story of Samson reminds people of the story of Hercules. Right? You know, Greek mythology, Hercules, the mighty man of power who did all those fantastic exploits. And Samson is in some ways similar to Hercules, except that Samson was a real guy, and the animating power that he exhibited was not superhuman strength, but it was the power of the Spirit of God that acted upon him. Why? Because the children of Israel were under the tyranny of a nation called the Philistines. The Philistines were a Gentile heathen nation who perpetually plagued and tyrannized the children of Israel. Many times this tyranny of the Philistines was God punishing the Israelites for their unfaithfulness. When you read the whole book of Judges, the picture that you get is God gives Israel everything, and Israel cannot remain faithful unless there is a strong leader exercising authority over the nation. But the minute that that guy goes away, all right, the minute that that happens, Israel falls back into sin, all right? And this is the situation that we find in the book of Judges. So the Israelites fall into sin. God punishes them by sending some nation to plague them. Then they repent, and God raises up a judge. All right? The word judge in the Old Testament does not mean a law court official. In the Old Testament, the word judge means a decider, someone whom God raises up to deliver the children of Israel in their time of trouble and to give them leadership to make decisions, all right, to be a leader. So the period of the judges is marked by this constant back and forth between sin, repentance, deliverance, and backsliding. Alright? There's more backsliding and sinfulness than there is faithfulness. The only times we see faithfulness is when God raises up one of these people, these men, to be judges. And as long as that guy is around, everything seems to be okay. It's not great. It's never great. All right. The book of Judges sums up its history by saying this. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. So there was no unity to the nation. Everybody just did what they thought. And so there was a kind of a disorganized mess in the land of Israel. All right. So one of these judges, one of the last of the judges, is Samson. After him, we don't see any new judges. He's the last of the judges. And Samson is a problematic character because his story starts off so positive, and he never quite lives up to God's calling. But he does go out with a bang. And therefore, all's well that ends well. The story of Samson is really the story of God saying to this backsliding nation, don't give up hope. There is always hope. No matter how far you have backslidden and fallen away, there is always hope for a return to the Lord. Right? People oftentimes just give up, or they fall into despair. They lose hope that God will receive them. And the story of Samson shows that a sinner, a backslider, can return to the Lord, and that he can participate in a great victory over God's enemies. So let's start with chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So once again, they backslide. They start worshiping other gods. They start living godless, immoral lives contrary to the word of the Lord. It's important that you know that the people of Israel during this period of time were an immoral people, and they were an unfaithful, unspiritual people. And on top of that, they were disorganized. Right? So life was pretty much a mess, and it was exacerbated by the fact that when they fell into sin, God would punish them for their sins by raising up some pagan nation to afflict them. So here, they were under the thumb of the Philistines for 40 years because of their sins. They were getting what they deserved. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Now, how many times in the story of the Bible do we not learn of God bringing forward his program of salvation by using some woman who is not able to conceive? And he, by his blessing, he enables that woman to conceive, and the story of redemption goes through that woman's child or children. Alright? This happens many times. Why? Two reasons. Number one, God always wants to show us that his deliverance and his salvation is not the work of man and his might, but it is the sovereign act of the God of creation and redemption. All right? That's so in order to accentuate that and bring it out clearly, God always seems to pick a woman who is barren. And he causes that woman to be able to conceive. And thus, right from the beginning of that point, we are attending to the overriding power of God. The second reason why we have a miraculous curing of infertility is as a precursor to the virgin birth. You see, what's being revealed to us throughout the Old Testament, even in these gritty stories like Samson, is another step on the road to redemption. And so all of the women from Genesis all the way through the Bible who are barren and yet who give birth to children who significantly move the plan of redemption another step forward, these women are to remind us that God will one day bring the Messiah, the Redeemer of the whole world, through a virgin who has not known a man. So, when we read of Samson's mother here, she is barren and she cannot bear. And yet, she is blessed to bear, and we are reminded of the power of God that can overcome any circumstance, and we are reminded of the supreme redemption in the virgin birth of the Messiah, the Christ, who came to redeem the world from sin, death, and the devil. All right. Verse 4. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee. Wait, where am I? Oh, okay. She bare not. I forgot verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. All right, so the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife and tells her that despite her barrenness, she's going to conceive and bear a son. Why? Because God says so. Right? And when God wills it, it happens. So, we have this angel of the Lord. Now, who is this angel of the Lord? I'm tempted to wait until it becomes clearer in the text, but I'm going to give you the answer right at the beginning so that you're seeing this develop. There are times in the Old Testament where a personage appears, an angelic person appears, but it is not simply an angel. It is the Son of God in his pre-incarnate state. You know, from all eternity, there was the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And they existed from all eternity, the Father and the Son, eternally begotten of the Father, and the Holy Ghost eternally proceeding from the Father and the Son. And they were in this relationship from all eternity. Now, during the history of Israel, at key points, the Son of God would appear to the children of Israel, or to the patriarchs, or to certain key people, in order to announce the plan of redemption and deliverance. This is one of those occasions where we meet the angel of the Lord. Remember that the word angel, angelos, it means messenger, right? So there are angelic messengers, and then there are other messengers like God himself appearing. appears and speaks to them. We'll see how this develops in the story. All right. So he tells her she's going to have a child, a son. Now beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink. Eat not any unclean thing. All right, so he says, no wine, no beer, and no unclean food. All right, why? Is he concerned about the baby's nutrition? No. He says in verse 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. All right, so the reason why she has to abstain from all unclean foods and from wine and beer is because the son that she's going to bear is going to be under a lifelong Nazarite vow. Right? And this means that this person is chosen by God for a very specific calling. And in this calling, they are never, ever to cut their hair. Right? As long as the Nazarite vow continued, they were never to cut their hair. And they were never to drink any strong drink or wine, or eat any unclean food, or in other words, they were set apart for a specific task. Now, Samson is unique in this. He is a Nazarite from the womb, all right? As a baby in the womb, a little tiny little fetus, he already is known by God, and he already has a divine calling on his life, and he is already set apart for God's purposes. All right? So that's what the Nazarite vow is. No razor shall come on his head, etc., etc. Then verse 6. The woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. All right, so I saw an angel. Oh man, was he was fearful looking. It was frightening to see him. I didn't ask him any questions, because, you know, this guy was frightening. So, he said to me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb of to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, and said, so now Manoah, hearing this from his wife, he prays to God. And he entreated Jehovah, the Lord, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. All right, so Manoah feels that he needs guidance, and he wants to be a faithful parent, so he prays to the Lord for further instruction. And in this way, he proves to be a good parent. And verse 9, God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said to him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me and came unto me the other day." And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him?" So he's, "Are you the guy?" "I'm the guy." Right? All right. So tell us what we're supposed to do. Right? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe." And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee." So Manoah feels the obligation to have a meal to commemorate this astonishing event. All right, so he's going to take a goat and they're going to cook it up and serve a meal, right? And to celebrate this momentous event in the life of Manoah and his wife. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord." And I don't want any offerings made to Baal or to any of the other gods of the land of Canaan. I know that this people is a rebellious, backslidden people who have not been faithful. All right? So make sure that if you offer a burnt offering, you offer it unto the Lord, unto Jehovah. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of Jehovah, of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is wonderful?" You see that? Now, I want you to turn, keep your place here in Judges 13, and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 6. Verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see that? The same word. Here we are told that the Messiah is going to be wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. And back, we can go back to Judges now. Back in the book of Judges, chapter 13, when this angel of the Lord, when he is asked to give his name, He says, why are you asking my name, seeing that it is wonderful? We are being told here that this angel is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Before his incarnation, appearing to reveal a part, an important part of the plan of God's redemption. So we get the name Wonderful, or other translations give it, seeing it is secret. All right, but the word is literally wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward the heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. So Manoah offers this sacrifice. And as the flames are going up, the angel of the Lord mingles with the flame and goes up and goes away. Alright, and by this, we are being shown that it is Christ who makes our prayers acceptable to God. Alright, the sacrifice is an act of prayer and worship. But what is it that makes a sacrifice acceptable to God? But faith in the Word of God. Faith which then acts in accordance with the Word, trusting in the Lord. And this is what makes our prayers acceptable to God. And so we are being shown here that faith in Christ makes our prayers acceptable to the Lord. All right. So they saw him no more. And then Manoah knew that he was an angel of Jehovah. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. See that? Boom. This was not one of the created angels. This was God himself appearing to these two people. All right? So we're going to die because we've seen God. All right? And but his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. So, Manoah is overcome with the awesomeness and the fearfulness of the experience. His wife is, she's still got her feet on the ground. And she says, does it make sense that the Lord would go through this whole thing just to kill us, tell us all these important things, and receive an offering at our hands, that the Lord would do these things if he was planning to kill us? And so they both go about their business, but you know, Manoah's kind of looking for lightning bolts, you know, looking over his shoulder, you know. But his wife, she kind of knows that it's going to be okay. All right, so verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So the child is born and he grows up and God's blessing is upon him during his time of growth. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. In other words, as he grew up, there would be events that would take place to show his great strength, so that he was becoming well known as this guy who could do amazing things. Think of Superboy Clark Kent in Smallville before he goes to the big city, right? And so Samson, he becomes known as this guy who gets empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. So you need to understand, the Bible is not telling us of a mythical character who had superpowers, but that the Spirit of the Lord was moving Samson and empowering Samson. And this Spirit of the Lord is the same Spirit who moves us to faith and empowers us to endure in the faith despite temptations and troubles. Alright? So chapter 13 ends on a great note of hopefulness. Right? God himself shows up. He makes all these promises concerning Samson. Samson is very special. He's to be treated in a certain way. Everything goes exactly as God had said. Samson is born. God's blessing is upon him. And the Spirit of God begins to move him. It looks like we are about to see an episode of unmitigated success in the next couple of chapters. Boy, are we in for a rude awakening. Alright? When we begin chapter 14 next week, we will learn that the first thing that we learn about the adult man, Samson, was he liked the ladies. Alright? He liked the ladies. And he liked heathen ladies. Alright? And so, I'll just leave you hanging with that one for next week. Alright? That Samson's, the minute that we see his work get going, things start to get like, what? Are you kidding me? This? He did what? And this is, as you read the story of Samson over and over again, this is what, it's like, what? He did what? He gave his parents what? Alright? And so we're going to see Samson not living up to all of the promise that attended his birth. He's a backslider and a fleshy man. All right? And he's actually a picture of the nation of Israel. So much promise, so much hope, and so much failure. Right? And so, anyway, we'll leave it there. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.